That was Terrence Blanchard again. What was that song? In Time of Need. And so I got the story for this album. I don't know it well, but it was written for Katrina. And the four cuts that are on PodSafe Music Network are fantastic. I mean, just beautiful, brilliant music. Great stuff. I'm a big fan. So this past weekend was the Pod Camp Boston, and it was a big stretch for me. I'll tell you why. I'm socially awkward these days. You ask a lot of my friends, they'll say, "What? That's crazy. Graham's not socially awkward." I don't know what it is. I just can't explain it. I'll be looking into this a little bit more for myself, but I've been feeling it badly lately, and just never felt more alone. Oh yeah, I know. I've got Katie and I love her, and it's her birthday tomorrow, so think of her. But you know, I got a couple guy friends, well, in the area that I don't see nearly enough. Other than that, man, I got guys like Rob Fulton, my buddy that I talk to all the time on the phone in Colorado. And, you know, I got lots of friends all over the place. Close friends. I mean, really close, great, intimate relationships. But there's just something about me that loves to be alone. And it works against everything that I want to do. So I'm working on that. So it was tough for me. I got to meet a lot of people that I had known for a long time through either chat, email, or Twitter. And that was really cool. You putting faces to the names. In those moments, there was nothing awkward about them. It wasn't hard to create conversation, nothing like that. I don't mean that I'm, you know, socially retarded or anything like that. It's just my edge right now. It's really tough for me to socialize consistently and to network, and especially to pimp my wares or whatever. You know, it's extra tough right now. I got zero confidence. So I'm, again, working on that. But I'll tell you, it was a great experience for a couple of reasons. Got me out of the house, all right? I got to meet, like I said, some of those people. I did learn a few things. Not a lot. I mean, most of the stuff was pretty basic. I think that I might have been in the wrong rooms. There was a lot of stuff going on in every 45-minute session. And the ones I chose just didn't seem to have it happening. The first one I went to was Living La Vida Freelance. It was all about freelancers. And one of the guys up there, I knew. And I actually never met him. However, I got to see, he was on the panel. And he was speaking, and I got to talk to him, and that was really cool. Got to see him talk, got to meet him later on, and he's a good dude. And there were a couple other people up there that were I totally respected. And then there were a couple people that I'm like, man, if this is the freelance lifestyle, I want nothing to do with it. There's a guy that was bragging about how caffeinated he is, and he took pride in how much he didn't sleep and how much to use caffeine and what an adrenaline junkie he was. And I swear to God, he looked like he was gonna die. I mean, the guy was so unhealthy looking. And I'm like, and you're on a panel to tell me to teach me what? I'm sorry, but everything that you brought up made me think, well, all right, move away, far, far away from that. I think the notes I wrote was like, freelance equals unhealthy. And I don't believe that has to be the case, because not everyone up there was unhealthy, but this dude was insane. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the other thing that he bragged about was how often he Twitters. So I'm like, it's just quantity. It's all about quantity. It's obviously not about quality, because your life, I'm sorry, looking at you, maybe you got a great life, I don't know, but you don't look like you've got a great life. I mean, the energy you were communicating was like you could just drop dead at any minute. And you look bored up there, you look like you didn't care. Oh man, that's how it started out. I'm like, oh my God, I can't be like, and it reminded me of these internet marketing conferences that I've been to, so many of them, where one of my best friends said, it's the brown socks and sneakers crowd. You know, they're wearing their tennis shoes with brown socks, and it just, they got no sense of, you know, they sit in front of the computer and they're geeky and they're probably pretty successful financially or whatever, but Lord have mercy, these are not the kind of cats you want to emulate for anything other than, you know, how to do the technical part of their business or whatever. So some of it was like that. Now, that was my initial taste, and that bummed me out. Going on to the second one, though, it was all about some four-hour work week stuff and some Tony Robbins stuff. And a lot of it was totally rehashed Tony Robbins, which I always come up against, because, man, just tell them to do Tony Robbins, or at least say, look, I'm getting this from Tony Robbins, so I'm essentially going to recreate a Tony Robbins seminar for you. This is what it might be like if you went to a Tony Robbins seminar, except I'm not a pimple on Tony Robbins' ass, because I've met Tony Robbins, and that guy has a presence and power that will stop you dead in your tracks and just be, you'll feel it. Whereas usually the people that have just read the books and gone through the tapes and all of that stuff, and then they start espousing the values of Tony Robbins and his principles and his techniques, those are the people that usually don't have it. They're just learned this thing. I just learned this great new thing in a book, and now I got to go teach it. And I applaud you for doing that. It's brave. It's important. It might actually open people up to the real thing, but you ain't the real thing. And so that's why I get bummed, because I'm so familiar with his work and work like that, that when people posture it and they don't really embody it, yeah. Well, he wasn't the only one speaking. Chris Brogan was speaking, and Chris Brogan I followed for a long time. He actually linked to me from Lifehack a long time ago that put me on the map, put one of my blogs on the map in a big way. And I mean, God bless him. He's a mover and a shaker and a sincere guy. I really like him. I think he might sit in front of the computer or down too much or not watch what he eats too much. And I'm such a snob. I'm sorry. I am. I care so much about health and my body that when I see people not care about theirs, I just don't trust it. You know, it seems to me that they're not embodied, because if they were, you know that their body is telling them, look, you have got to drop 20 pounds fast because it's dangerous. It's not, you know, 20 pounds is dangerous on a person. That's an extra inch around the waist. And the minute you, at least, right? And the minute you have that extra inch or two around the waist that you don't need, you're in the danger zone. And so you got to stop that. You got to stop that. You got to get healthy. You can still, I find the time to eat as much chocolate and sweets and everything and nasty foods and junk food as I possibly want, and still maintaining a good weight, because I do it in a structure that works for my body, which I've, you know, gone through a long time of testing and tweaking, and I found something that's working for me right now that's allowing me to be healthy and be in pretty decent shape. I mean, I'm no cover model, you know that, but I am in, you know, above average shape. And so I'm a bit of a snob, and I just want to see the best for these people. I want to, especially Chris Brogan, because the guy is so, I admire him a lot, and I want to be like him in many ways because of the way people look up to him and the way he inspires people through technology. And he's a great blogger, he's a great writer, and he's prolific in his output. So I dig him, and the coolest thing about him was he introduced himself to me. He says, Graham, so glad to finally meet you face to face. And I was like, whoa, first of all, he recognized me from the cyber communications we've gone through. He recognized my name, and he gave me a nice compliment that I won't recreate here because it's kind of embarrassing, and I don't want to brag, and I don't want to seem vain. I'm kind of giving it away anyway, aren't I? Well, anyway, he gave me a great compliment. Man, it just jazzed me So I learned something from him. It wasn't just that he gave me a compliment. It was like, that's what you do to people if you want them to feel good. You give them a compliment. And it's sincere. It wasn't just like, what can I notice about this guy to give him a compliment that so he'll like me? It was like, it was sincere. Or at least I think it was. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was sincere. And so it just made me feel so fucking good that I was on fire. And I loved it. And I enjoyed that talk. I got some out of it, got some reminders of things, but nothing mind-blowing. I moved on to the next session, which was, what are advertisers looking for? Obviously, they're not looking for anything I've got, so that felt like a waste of time. These guys won't look for anything above, you know, 20, 30,000 downloads a month, or it might have been even higher. It was so ridiculous that I'm not even in that league right now, so obviously I'm not looking for it. And the work seemed to be so intense that maybe if you've got somebody, you really need to have a person going to get advertising, and that pays them and it pays you. And if I were to do it myself the way I tend to do, it would not get done. It wouldn't, or it would get done half-assed, or I would do it well, and then the content would be gone, and then they'd jump ship. So anyway, lunch, what did I do? I went alone, so I had nobody to really hang with. And you know, everyone gets in their clicks really quickly, and if you don't get there right in time and like cling to somebody is what it seems like, then you're kind of left on your own. I got to learn how to navigate that. I've got tons of audio programs on how to, you know, communication and all of that stuff. I got to get back into it, because I used to be a lot better than I am now, and I felt so awkward that, what did I do? I went down to the cafeteria, sat by myself, put my headphones on, opened my laptop, and I started writing a song. Now, I can't complain, because that's something that I truly need to do the most of all. That's the most important thing that I need to do, is to be writing right now consistently all the time. And I've got a piece of music that I'm really excited about right now. So that's, you know, I won't beat myself up too much. But after lunch, I went to the next session, which was about intellectual property for the creative class. So this woman was talking copyright law. What did I get out of it? Psh, get a fucking lawyer. Don't waste your time trying to understand copyright law. Just do what seems to be right. And if somebody says you're wrong, well, then you take it down. And usually that's enough. I guess that's what I got out of it, which is what any, just use some common sense. Don't steal shit. Don't use other people's content. You know, you can talk about it and you can use it in that kind of a sense. But truly, it's so deep that copyright lawyers honestly are just learning it as they go. And it's being created right now as we go with the Creative Commons. So fucking waste of my time. I should have just known not to go in there, because... But you live and you learn. And I did learn something. Get a fucking lawyer. Which pisses me off that you got to go hire lawyers to do this. Because it's just one more expense, and all you're trying to do is provide some value for the world, but it just costs you an arm and a leg. And no wonder poor people stay poor, because the hurdles in... I'm going to not accept that right now. In a sec or so. I won't make this long, but the hurdles of trying to make it requires so much upfront capital if you're trying to do anything that could be, you know, Rob's asking me if I'm jerking off or crying. that's hilarious. There's a lot you got to do to get going, and it can require a lot of capital. And so sometimes you just got to, as the saying goes, it's better to apologize than ask permission, or whatever the saying is. You know, don't ask permission. Just go for it and then apologize later when you did it wrong. Okay. I don't know what happened to the next moment. Monetizing. I don't know what I did at 3. I don't know which one I missed. I know that I went into one and it was kind of a waste of time. I ended up into another one. No, my bad. It was How to Market with New Media 101, and I believe it was, forget the guy's name, but he's a pretty famous blogger, and it was actually really good. I got a lot of good advice and feed and a lot of examples of how it's doing, how things are doing well. A good example of sites that are doing excellent with podcasting and stuff. So I'm going to go and I'm going to use that as a swipe file, and that was awesome. Then I went into screencasting, which was pretty fucking basic. Yeah, it was just basic stuff. I mean, I'm doing screencasts and they're pretty good. So maybe I learned that I'm on the right track, and that's fine. I don't know if I needed to be told that. That was the end of the day. I came. Oh, and I hung out all by myself as I watched a ton of podcasts and stuff on my iPhone while I drank a green tea and waited to go to the party. Now, I went to the party and I hung out with a few folks, maybe like five people I hung out with, and we all kind of clung to each other and didn't go out and introduce ourselves to other people, which is what sucked. And two of the people came to the table solely to pitch and to show how much they knew about SEO and marketing and to try and get clients and shit like that, which was fairly lame. It was lame. The other people that I met were cool. One of them is a Twitter buddy. That was awesome. One guy was just totally random, and, you know, we had a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. I do wish that I would have hung out and gotten to meet people. And apparently the party kept on going. But I had enough. I needed to get out of there, and I went home and watched the game, and Rockies lost, Red Sox won, of course, that's history. Next day, you know what? I couldn't go to sleep that night. I just wasn't tired. I probably had too much caffeine, and I was all bummed out about, you know, my social anxiety right now. So I couldn't sleep. I slept in as much as possible because there wasn't really anything in the morning that I wanted to go to that I thought was going to be powerful. And apparently what I hear, there wasn't anything. I would have liked to. I ended up on accident as I'm going into, I finally get down there at like 1 o'clock to catch the last two sessions. I accidentally call my dad. This is kind of funny. Because, you know, the iPhone, you don't know if you're hitting a button. Sometimes you just put your finger on something and you're calling somebody. So I'm calling my dad on accident. I'm like, well, whatever. I might as well talk to him. Dad, how's it going? And I remember I wanted to say something to him anyway. I was saying, guess what I'm going to do tonight? And he's like, what? I'm going to install Leopard. And he's like, oh, I did it the other day. And I'm like, my dad, who's like in his 70s, has already installed Leopard, which is, you know, the entire tech community is crazy about it. And everyone's like, ooh, should I wait? Should I do it? Should I wait? Should I do it? And I was going through this, like, should I wait? Should I do it? My dad just gets it and does it. And he's not that impressed with it, but he doesn't use iChat and some of the other things. And he might find more use for it down the road because everyone's raving about it. And I got to say, I did install it later that day and I'm really happy. More about that in just a second. So I ended up talking to him for a while, which was good. You know, we get a catch up every now and then. And I missed a talk with Jeff Pulver, who's a powerful guy. And his was on lessons of a serial/parallel entrepreneur. And he's got tons of projects going and very rich, doing very well for himself. And I wish I would have caught more of that. After that, I went into podcasting in the music industry, and that was what I was really interested in. And the panel seemed to be really cool. CC Chapman, another guy from War Records, who I went by their studios every single day in Boulder on Broadway. And I asked the first question, which was about the Nine Inch Nails. And they're glad that, you know, it was a great question, they said, and I felt that it was a really important thing, and it got a great conversation going. And then I feel like the conversation was pretty lame. There were some generational gaps, guys that still are like, they need to hold on to something, and they're not eco-friendly and don't understand all the great implications of the digital media, that we don't have to take up more space and use plastic and do all of these things that just get thrown in the garbage and that just take up more space and create more packaging and so not eco-friendly. that's just one thing. And all of these other benefits to the digital music, and I know CC got it, but the other guys didn't so much. The one thing that I did say was they'd like to see it go back to vinyl. And so instead of CD, we go vinyl and MP3, which I'd be down with because I love vinyl. I've got a decent record collection. And vinyl's cool as shit. But man, you know, these guys say, well, they forget about music if they don't have it, something physical to look at and remind them. I'm like, well, that's what my recent playlist is. You know, I'm looking at it right now, my recently added playlist on iTunes. I go there and I say, what haven't I played or what did I get, just to remind myself. So, I mean, come on. It's like fucking more simple than having a piece of trash in your space, cluttering up your space. I've got 300 new things that I can look at and make sure that I get through all of them or find out which ones. Hey, you know what? I don't care. But all in all, it was good. And I did get to meet the guy from War Records afterwards. And he emailed me back today. So I got to reply to him and say thanks for emailing me. And that was cool. And overall, it was pretty good. I don't think I got anything out of it. You know, the advice I got was lame. Like one of the last questions I asked them, what advice would you give to somebody? What are some best practices for using digital media, blah, 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 to promote yourself? They're like, email. Make sure you talk to your email list. I'm like, oh my God, marketing 101. Can you give me something better? Like, go to Facebook, do this, do that, do that. That's first thing. Two thing, make sure you have something viral in that you have a way for people to share it. Three, make sure you have one button, da da da. Four, do this. Five, do that. Bang, you're done. I think I could create that own list and it would be awesome. In fact, that's on my to-do list now. It's a blog post. And then what? It was over and everyone's figuring out what to do next and stuff. And I put my head down and I just walked out. I left. I went home. I couldn't stand myself enough to be around other people. It was a bad vibe, but I just went home and I, you know, put the game on when it came on. And before that I installed Leopard, which I love. I'm happy with. The only thing I haven't been happy with was missing Chax for iChat and missing all the extra plugins for Safari, the new Safari, Safari Stand, stuff like that. So I ended up today, through the past couple days actually, just digging around here and there, and I got most of my functionality built back into Safari. The most important thing is, when you close Safari and you've got multiple tabs, you want it to open and keep those tabs. You don't want to lose it. I mean, you know, that just restore your session. It seems to be the most important part of, one of the most important parts of browsing. So you can quit if something goes wrong and get it back later. That's not built into Safari. So you have to have plugins. I got that working. And I got Inquisitor working on Safari. I do now have, today, just a minute ago, actually, an hour or two ago, I installed an Apple script to notify me of incoming messages via iChat, so I get growl notifications again, and now everything's great. Logic works perfectly on Apple. Quicksilver is not working as well as I'd like. I'm the proxy navigating, what's it called? It's called proxy navigation in apps or whatever, through Quicksilver. I can't get that working. And there, the forum seems to be down, so I don't know what to do about that, but I'm sure those things will get fixed. All in all, it's a great upgrade. I'm really happy with it. I just have a stock Logic, no plugins. I use Logic solely, and that's it. No third-party stuff, so I'm set to go. Everything's fine. So all in all, I have to say it was less than average, less than good experience. It was kind of a bad experience, though I'm glad I went, which is weird. It was a bad experience, but I'm glad I did it. You know, there was good and bad in it. But my overall feeling was just, ugh, and I've been depressed afterwards. Really, can I say this? Just hating my life, okay? Just hating it. Like, if I could do over, I would do so many things differently, which is making me rethink what I need to be doing right now and how I need to be living my life right now and the choices I need to be making right now. And what do I want to do? I want to make music. I want to be making music, but I really have to take a lot of my own advice that I give to other people and establish my own unique musical gift and then just ruthlessly promote it and go out there and get it. And I also need to make a living, and the way I'm doing it right now is not working for me. It's too much stress. So I'm excited about getting some Logic Studio training to be certified trainer and using that as an income source, because that will still be basically on my own. You know, it'll be a business of my own rather than having a job, because I can't get a job. You don't get it how I can't have a job. But if I can, or work for somebody else, I think that will be awesome, because it'll be two things that I love the most: making music with Logic and Apple. So music, Apple, put those two together, bang, I'm really happy. And I'll use that to be making some cash while I'm consistently writing. And my the month of October has been the best month for writing in a long time. I'm going to try and keep that going through the, you know, throughout the future, so I can, I just need a good workflow. Rob and I are going to be talking a lot about this with each other, developing a great, workflow for writing. So it's just frictionless, because sometimes it's a struggle, and I got to do a brain cleanse and start from scratch. And then the other thing I really want to do is go back to school, get my music degree, and consider teaching. I don't care about being a live performer, or I do actually want to perform live, but I don't care about being famous. I do care about making great music that I think is worthy of being famous, and then that's enough for me. And then performing it live in some degree. I don't need stadiums or any of that anymore. I just need to express myself. But I do love teaching. I do love being in the music education field, and I do love that whole, that community. So I'd like to go back, get my degree, finish my music degree, work on, you know, just my own music as well as teaching, and, you know, get paid. That's where I'm at. So I'm going to be thinking a lot about that and how I can make that happen. Start over. Pretend I'm 18 again and I just graduated high school and I'm going back to college and I got to think about a career now. That's where I'm at. That's the exact place that I would like to start over from. Actually, a little bit earlier, so I can get a good general education, even though I don't think I ever would have gotten that where I was from or to the schools that I went. But, you know, that's life. You've got your cards that you're dealt, and you just play the best hand you can. And I got to look forward now. And so I'm going to look forward to this track, another track from that by Terrence Blanchard. And this one is called Funeral Dirge. And I think it'll be appropriate, because at this moment now, this is the death of the old Graham. Okay? This is the death of the feel sorry for himself, hates himself, zero confidence, awkward, limited Graham. This is the death of that Graham. This is the death that's going to open to a brand new, completely clean slate. And I'll leave it there, and I'll play you A Funeral Dirge by Terrence Blanchard.